Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's great to be with you. So we'll go ahead. Let me just double check. Everything looks good. We're recording. It's nice to see some beautiful faces here. Hi, Judy. And wow, all kinds of exciting things happening in the world. So welcome, everyone. And this is our August 3rd Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call for August. It's August 20th, 2020. And it's quite a lot happening for Madeline and me right now because there's a fire. I can see it from here, the smoke coming over the ridge. And there's another fire over there I can't see. So we're under mandatory mandatory evacuation orders. And of course, we've decided not to abide by that. So here we are. Although they did come by yesterday twice, it was kind of funny, and banged on the door and rang the doorbell and said, mandatory evacuation. And we were kind of being quiet in the back room. But it's it doesn't look, to me it doesn't look like it's all that serious. The fires are still far away, so we thought people would be coming back today, but they're not. They're still apparently think that they have to stay away longer. So 6,000 people all left in a mass exodus here, but there are some others that are here, I think, besides us. We see our neighbors, I think, are still here too. So it's great to be with you all, and we'll kind of just keep monitoring the situation and just give thanks that we have this beautiful opportunity to be together. As I said in the email that I sent out, which is not only, I know a lot of you don't get the email for various reasons. This, spam filters eventually tend to end up blocking everything, and so if you can somehow get it to go straight into your inbox, you have to actually be proactive and tell Gmail or whoever it is, your email server, to anything that comes from me, from admin, I think it's admin@worldpeacediet.com, I believe. Anyway, to make sure that it goes into your inbox. Otherwise, you won't get those notices. But anyway, as I was saying in the notice that I sent out, we have another event by chance. It just happens to be the same day, right after this is over. It's actually starting at 6 p.m., but I'm going to try to wrap us up about 6:15 so I can get on that at 6:15. It's very interesting. It's all Jewish people, except I'm the only non-Jewish person on this panel, and it's organized by Richard Schwartz, who's I think the founder of the Jewish Vegetarian Society of the United States, and there's a big campaign that he's, I guess, working on, and a lot of other rabbis are working, and other vegan Jewish people, to resurrect an ancient Jewish holiday, which is I think it was a year, every year, I'm not exactly sure, but it's like they have a name in Jewish Hebrew language for this holiday to commemorate animals or to show respect for animals. And it's been sort of lost in the dust of time, and they're trying to resurrect that again. So I'm going to be the one, I'm just going to talk about how I think this is wonderful for all the other religions to have the example of the Jewish people having a holiday that's set aside, especially every year, to dedicated to compassion for animals and remembering them and honoring them and having respect for them and so forth. So that maybe Buddhists and Christian and other traditions will also come on board with their own animal sacred days. And there are, I think, possibilities for that. There are already quite a few churches that sometimes they'll have a special service for animals. So this is, anyway, that's happening today right after our call. And so on the in the Facebook group, I wanted to mention that. So the World Peace Diet Facebook group, I always mention and remind people about this call and have the link to the Zoom and so forth. So if you don't get the mailing, and if you do have Facebook, you can just go to the World Peace Diet Facebook facilitators group. It's a private group, but it's easy to join. Just go there, and you can click on the link there and find out what we're going to be doing that particular meeting. So that's it. So again, welcome everyone. It's wonderful to be with you. And it was about 2 weeks ago, on the first Thursday of August, we had our Judy helped so much with that. Thank you, Judy. The satsang. We had a world peace satsang, which was I loved it. Actually, it seemed like a good way to just be together and remember the truth. So what I'd like to do now is go ahead and go into our meditation time, just to start off with. And then we have a few special things we want to talk about and share. So we can get into that. And of course, if you have any questions or comments, concerns, this is the time. This is our once a month special time to be together as a community and talk to each other and to just talk about whatever is happening that seems significant in the vegan movement and in our lives together as vegan activists, working to help bring the World Peace Diet message of inclusion, compassion, kindness, and respect to all beings. So a lot has been happening, as you all know, and we're in a real massive transitional time. Okay, so I'm doing this again. I'm practicing this, being at the piano. I am sitting here. So let's begin to just take a few minutes to relax and get centered into this time of meditation to start our time together. Playing the piano in the key of F, which according to some esoteric schools is the key of the heart chakra. It's also the key of the, which is the third chakra. Fourth chakra. And also the key of planet Earth. So let's become quiet within our consciousness and just take a moment and breathe. With every exhalation, we allow ourselves to enter more deeply into this moment. And we give thanks for this beautiful opportunity that we have to be together here this evening. We give thanks for the beautiful animals of this earth, celebrating their lives. Exemplifying the joy of being. And we connect with the truth that animals have spiritual lives also. It is not only humans or on a spiritual path. That they have feelings, aspirations, that they live directly as expressions of life. Fulfilling a greater harmony. Serving a purpose on this earth and reminding us of ways that we can also fulfill our purposes on this earth. We think of the beautiful geese their noble character, their commitment to their relationships for life, how they work together and cooperate, how they work for the common good of all. And live in peace and harmony with each other, with nature. How they have a tremendous wisdom that guides them all over the earth. And all the other birds, animals, and fishes. Grand and beautiful celebration of life here. And we give thanks to all the human beings working together with us to raise awareness about the consequences of our violence towards animals for food and other products. We give thanks for those who have gone before us and for those who will be coming after us. May we fulfill our place in this great work of planetary awakening, of awakening of humanity out of the nightmare of delusion into which we are born, of domination and oppression of other beings. Abiding in our hearts, abiding in peace and harmony, abiding in joy, abiding in gratitude, abiding in loving kindness and goodwill for all, abiding in compassion. Abiding in an awareness of the infinite abundance of life. An opening to that abundance now. The abundance of joy and freedom and creativity in every cell of our being. Every thought and feeling, bringing inspiring ideas and visions of how we can contribute and give our unique gifts to this movement of awakening, to fulfill our purpose for this lifetime. On this beautiful earth. And we just allow the music now to deepen our connection with the mission and with the purpose, with the truth that we are. allowing our minds and hearts to relax into the infinite light that is the source of all life. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. And may we continue our work together to help build a more enlightened society, a world that cares for everyone, that reflects the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. And so it is. Thanks everyone for joining together in the meditation. And now we have a special guest from Switzerland, my wonderful wife Madeline. Today happens to be August 20th, which Judy knows, because she's our good old buddy, our good friend, is our anniversary. Today is our 27th anniversary. And so I'd like to, give a big hand to Madeline for being together all these years with a kind of crazy guy here. We've gone all over the world so many times. And so I'd like to just invite Madeline to join us. She's by phone. And talk a little bit about how we can make food that is nutritious and delicious, especially during these times of I guess preparedness is something we want to talk about. So go ahead. Are you unmuted, sweetheart? Let me see. Okay, so let's do that. And here we go. So
hello.
Go ahead, sweetie. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, I think actually you have to do it. I can't. There. Okay, now you're. Thanks.
All right. Am I on now?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, everybody. it's so good to be on here again for a little while. And I hope everybody's doing well under all these circumstances. And, we're doing great here under all our circumstances, too. And I like to talk about food is my specialty, really. And for some people, it's a money issue. And I like to tell a little bit about buying anyway organic and just buy some less expensive foods like grains and greens and then a few fruits to make up for the sweetness. And that's not so expensive if one sticks with some food which is not packaged. It's pretty reasonable to still be organic then, because one gets so many more benefits like vitamins, minerals and trace minerals and all that, which is important for us to have and not having cravings. So if one gets some really basic foods and enough starch, it's really important to eat a lot of starch. And chew well, of course. And then one needs a few, like herbs and spices, to make it so it's nice. Maybe some tahini, making little sauces. We love making sauces from tahini. One can do it by hand. One doesn't need a machine. Add some, like, for example, lemon, and then maybe a little peppermint in also, or ginger or sesame seeds, and then pouring this over the grains with the green vegetables and a little salt. It doesn't need a lot of salt if one uses tahini. It's like a so tasty that one can save a little bit on saltiness. And then on the other hand, like baking bread and then making like a little paste of tahini with just water then, and putting this a little thicker than the sauce. So you can spread it over your bread slices, and then putting either some fruits on or some preserves if you like to have that. There is some non-sugar, some with sugar. One can make it oneself, which is always the least expensive. One can get the fruits in season and then have something for one's sweet tooth, like you're saying here in the States. And then it's pretty fulfilling. It's like no cravings and all that. But then on the other hand, I found out that it's good to have some kind of maybe a green powder one can add maybe in smoothies if one doesn't have enough greens, or one can't get to the store, or one is unwilling to wear a mask, then it's really difficult. I went through that the other day, and I had to tell what I like, because Sonoma County is pretty strict. I mean, it's so strict. It's not like Lake County. And I had to stand actually in front of the door in the heat of the sun and tell what I liked having, because I refused to wear a mask. So it was a pretty long endeavor, but I made my statement. And these green powders, they're very good. They're good for storage, because there might be a shortage in food. And we especially like the Sun Warrior. They have the Ormus Green, which is totally organic and totally pure and has lots of different greens in there, and have maybe a couple of tubs of these in storage to take out if there is, you know, I mean, one never knows what comes. They're surprising us, and I hope it never comes that far. But if you have in storage some grains, like buckwheat millet or spelt or oat or something, and have a kind of a pail full of something, and then having this and tahini and some green powder, this doesn't need a store to go if there is nothing in the store. One can actually live off that. And maybe you stock up on maybe golden berries or goji berries or something, or some dates. And they're good for storage too. And just be creative, but along this line, one can actually survive pretty nicely. And maybe you have a little garden or a little pot with some herbs. Try these herbs, like the peppermint or mushroom, thyme or rosemary. It depends where you live. And then you can... it's much cheaper to do it yourself than buying these little bottles. I buy, if I need herbs or spices, I buy them in bulk. It's important that they're organic, irradiate these, and so it's not good to not eat. It's good to get organic. So that's about my suggestion. And then do lots of exercise. This makes you more happy because the circulation is going well, and it also is a good complement for eating well and practicing some nice exercises. I have some yoga, now the newest one is the ball dancing, if you like to be inspired. And then let's be creative. Everybody knows to do something, some creativeness, because if you have a project, you feel much more happy. That's what I do, and Will does that too. So having a project, it could be anything in the garden or some thread, creativity or some pencil or paint or cooking or whatever it is, writing. So all these things together are really important to survive with a good mood along these lines, what they serve us on mass media, which we don't watch, but one gets always some of the results of the mass media, and then, you know, there you are, and depressed, and don't let it go that far. Just take your life in your hands as much as you can. So this is about my suggestion. And if you have any questions, or Will, if you think I should elaborate on something else, please tell me.
Thanks, sweetheart. That's wonderful. I think you did a great job just giving some overviews. That was what we were thinking, you know, like, I'll just say a couple of words here. And then, yeah, like Madeline said, feel free to raise your hand. And if you have a comment or a question, you know, with the with this whole COVID-19 thing, as it keeps dragging on week after week, month after month, there's a huge problem that's arising of hunger, and food shortages are looming. So we want to have enough food for ourselves and maybe for others, neighbors if necessary. So one of the things that we've done anyway for years is you can buy 5 gallon, 5 gallon pails, those white 5 gallon pails, whatever they're called, pails, I guess, gallon containers. And then you can buy special lids that spin on, you hammer on with that like a hammer, and then you spin them on. So they are really good lids. You spin them on, and they're different colors. You can have red, green, yellow, blue, white, and so forth. And then we have, so they hold a lot. I mean, we have a lot of those. We have probably like a dozen. With like one with rice, one with millet, one with quinoa, one with flax, one with corn, one with oats, one with spelt, one with all kinds of things. Everything you can think of, we've got a lot of that. And it lasts, you know, it won't, in those containers, there's no, they're, it's really well protected. So if you have that, and then I think sprouts, it's really good to have too, and you can always make sprouts. We just did it not too long, we did a sprouting video, so you can make your own fresh greens, and like Madeline said, you can have whatever kind of garden you can put together is a really good idea. And then what we found, well, I'll just mention this briefly, is that if you invest a little bit of money in a couple of appliances, like a Soyabella, then you can make milk, like oat milk, or other types of milk, nut milk, sunflower seed, extremely inexpensively. It's like 5 cents, 10 cents for a quart of milk, and it lasts forever. We've had ours for 20 years, and it works perfectly. So that we have a grain, you know, a flour mill, which I'm telling you, it's so much better than buying flour. And so you just have some spelt berries or wheat berries, or whatever, and then you or anything. You, like Madeline, will mix spelt and millet and maybe quinoa and make a flour, something from that, and then you can make pies and breads and different things. But it's really very nutritious and delicious. And like she said, we think that vegetables and fruits are great, but having and beans or especially lentils. We have a whole 5 gallon thing of lentils. But I think making sure you have something with plenty of starch. Starch is where we get our energy. And that's a mistake a lot of new vegans make, is they don't eat enough starch. So that's a foundation for health. And I'm very fortunate to have spent the last 27 years getting very well fed by Madeline. It's a delight. And she loves to create food. I mean, it's like every meal is an adventure for me. They're always different and creative and kind of creating something pretty and different and tasty and being inventive. So it's really a wonderful outlet for creativity too. Food, that's healthy, nutritious, always organic, no GMOs, glyphosate, any of that stuff. And support local farmers. We support the local farmers market, of course, here in Lake County. Local health food stores, and we grow our own food as much as we can. And now, for the first time, we're now official farmers, because last week we sold some of our food that we grew in our garden to the local organic co-op. So now we're making money growing food. So now I feel like I finally achieved my goal of being a farmer. And we had a bunch of peaches. We had so many peaches from our peach tree, and we really thought, all right, we'll sell them. And we got money for growing food, so that was kind of cool. So anyway, I think the more we keep putting energy into these things, and it's neat how it gradually gets better and better as we do these things. Because I think, as I've been saying, being self-sufficient is really important nowadays, more and more, I think. And these systems are getting, I think, in some ways more and more toxic that we're depending on. So to be less dependent on those, I think, is a good idea, and to find our way to be as self-sufficient as we can with energy, for example, with food, with information, with happiness in general. Don't have our happiness be dependent on anything outside of us. It has to really come from inside of us. And that's where we get into the spiritual dimension, to remember that what we are is not a body with a collection of history. We are the infinite spirit that is manifesting for a few short years through this body. And our happiness is not dependent on outside circumstances. I think our happiness is dependent on whether we're learning and growing and contributing and being part of the solution to the problems here, rather than just being part of the problems. That gives a deep sense of happiness. It doesn't mean we don't have to make our way in the world, though. And one of the things that I promised one of our listeners I would talk about a little bit today, and I just thought of it when I was saying this, so I'll just say it now, is how we can make our way in the world financially as vegans, especially now when so many things are shut down and it's more difficult than ever. We're having a really, we're facing serious crisis where the estimates are that probably 30 million people just in the United States are going to be thrown out of their houses because they've lost their jobs because of the lockdown of the economy. And so we already have a huge homeless problem in the United States, but it's going to get probably a lot worse in the next few weeks and months. And that's a direct result of the draconian lockdowns, which is completely unsupported by the fact that it's a 0.26 death rate, which is in the United States, and even much lower. I think it's 0.09% or something globally. So something's going on here. But the most important thing, I think, is for us to find ways to gracefully make our way in this and through this, to support each other with ideas and so forth. So one of the things I think that's helpful is to, of course, find alternative ways of living in some way. So the more you can grow your own food or find friends or link up that way. We did something the other day, that's why we went to Sonoma County, actually, was we went to buy some silver coins. We just bought a few silver coins because I think it's a good idea, Because there's a lot of talk about the great economic reset. So probably the dollar is going to be history, and it'll be a global currency. So any money you have, you may lose. Any money you have, you may lose. I mean, that's what's going to happen, possibly. This is a massive transfer of wealth from the poor and the middle classes to the super rich. So it's just good to be, you know, somewhat aware of these things. So we bought a little, but it was funny, they wouldn't let us come in the store without a mask. So we had to be creative, and we figured out a way we could go into this other, like a side place, and we did everything there with them. But that's what we discovered going into these other county. It was a whole different thing than where we are. We were able still to go to the post office and the grocery store and the bank, and they don't worry if we don't wear a mask. But when Madeline went into we had to buy some gas on the way back. And at the Arco, it's better to buy because they don't take credit cards. She gave the guy $40 in cash, just handed it to him, but she didn't have a mask on. And she said, "Pump number 6, please." And she went out, and she was out of the place. And he said, "Sorry, you know, I'm not going to turn it on because you didn't have a mask on when you gave me the money. you wouldn't turn it on." She said, "I'm already out. You have the money, you know, please turn it on." And she said, "No, I'm not going to turn it on because I'm not allowed to do a transaction if you're not wearing a mask." So finally she had to have a woman who was wearing a mask give him the money so then he could turn it on. So it showed, I mean, this robotic behavior of people is like really amazing. And so there's this kind of a program going on. And this isn't one of the themes. I mean, I'm not going to belabor the point, but the basic thing that Madeline and I have been warning for 30 years, and especially since the World Peace Diet came out about 15 years ago, whatever we sow, we reap. And if we're going to sow the seeds of enslavement and mandatory pharmaceutical domination of billions of animals, it's going to happen to us, and we see it happening. So that's why I think sharing the vegan message is the greatest gift we can give the world. I mean, this is not going to be solved if we don't go vegan. I mean, veganism is this fundamental solution. Eating animal foods is going to continue to create slavery for us because we're enslaving billions of animals. It's like Judy Carman in her new book, The Homo Ahimsa. You know, if we don't practice ahimsa, then we're practicing domination and exploitation of other beings for our own benefit, and we're sowing those seeds and we're eating it and so forth. So it's really microchipping and tracking and vaccination and masking and all these things. These are basically the same things that we impose on animals, the same kind of control and domination of their lives. And so it seems like we're called right now to be savvy, to keep the vegan movement going, keep it alive. As we lose more and more human rights of free speech and freedom of association and so forth, we're not allowed really to, like we know, we can't, like this, we're going to have a wonderful gathering coming up. It was going to be in a few weeks in Unity Village on spirituality and veganism for the first time, and it's been canceled because of this and many veg fests. We were going to be in Indiana, we were going to do all these things. And I realized when I was thinking about it, it's not anything to be necessarily proud of, but I realized that, you know, Madeline and I have been traveling and giving this vegan message. We've gone now to all 50 states over the last 30 years, and I was even doing it before she came on the scene, over 50 foreign countries, and I think it's about, I did a rough estimate, it's about, I think, close to 5,000 lectures, face-to-face, lectures, including the largest lecture in the history probably of veganism in Taiwan, with over 2,000 people came to hear me speak there. And I realized that that's probably, something that no human being has ever done, given, 4,000 or 5,000 lectures promoting veganism, probably never will, now that we have the airlines are going to, and travel is just becoming impossible. So a new era is ended in a way. And this ability to just get together and see each other and share the message face to face and hug each other and all of that, How is it possible that that's ended in a sense? I've met so many of you in the flesh, you know, and now we're supposed to not do that anymore and do everything virtually. So I think that's why it's important for us to keep questioning. I wrote an article recently called The Art of Disobedience, and not to say disobey everything, but just to obey higher laws. If we obey the higher laws, then we may find ourselves disobeying human laws. I mean, that's just how it is, right? If we obey the higher laws of kindness and compassion for animals, we may be going against a lot of the traditions and even the laws of our society and a lot of what people say we should be doing and shouldn't be doing. So to be relatively secure in our own consciousness, to be confident in our own spiritual connection with our own inner wisdom, so that we are able to not just be a mere conformist. And I think it's wonderful. I mean, veganism generally is an act of nonconformism. Just to be a vegan, we're already practicing that. And it's practice. It's a good practice. So I think it's the same thing with financial solvency through this whole thing. It'll be good to be, I think, a nonconformist, to kind of follow your own intuition. Probably, I think the best fundamental rule will be to take time every day to meditate and to connect with your own inner guidance system. There's no greater friend that we have than this inner guidance system that we can learn to trust to help us on our path, to guide us on our path. And so I don't think there's one cookie cutter answer for everyone. Each one of us has our own unique way of negotiating the financial, in many ways it's a slavery system on this planet, and to find a liberated niche. I remember learning about that when I was in college. This one professor I had talked about, find a liberated space, you know, create a liberated space for your life. And I never forgot that. And when I had no money, I came out to San Francisco, I was living in a car, and somehow I had this idea, if I just follow the spiritual path and create a liberated space, and it worked. But we each have our own unique way of doing that, I think. And one of the things is, of course, as World Peace Diet facilitators, I think there are people who really want to learn more about veganism, to be helped, to be coached, to have guidance. So there's a lot of people who are actually making a living spreading the vegan message through having a YouTube channel or having a sanctuary, perhaps, or doing coaching classes, coaching or cooking classes, or other making movies or giving lectures. There's quite a few different writing books and so forth. The idea is to find a niche that we really love and then just explore it and then volunteer. I think volunteering in the beginning is very helpful. I remember doing that when I thought I was teaching college, and I remember thinking it'd be great to make a living playing music. But I had been told my whole life, you can't make a living playing music. You know, no, that's very difficult. But I just started doing it every day, doing something every single day that kind of opened up a doorway in that direction in some way, not expecting to get any money for it, but just doing something, making a phone call or setting up some kind of a little gig somewhere. And I was living in Oakland at the time and in the Bay Area. And gradually, after a couple of years, lo and behold, I was making my living playing music. And that's been happening actually for many years now. So the same thing can be with anything. Whatever we love to do, just start small and plant seeds in your consciousness and in actual behavior, and tell the universe, this is it. And doorways will open. As Joseph Campbell said, doorways will open where there were only walls before, and suddenly there'll be a doorway. And I think it's been just glorious in myself to see how this has happened for myself and for many other people. And these are the ways I think that magic happens, in a sense, in our lives, is through trusting this inner guidance system, and then having confidence to step out and maybe disobey the outer rules of society or the inner rules that we've been told about how we have to do things. And be a giver. The more we give, that's one of the things we've found is almost everything we've done, we haven't really charged anything. We have a suggested donation, but we just give, you know, everything's by donation. And you can't outgive the universe. And the more we give out, you know, it comes back somehow or other. Maybe it's money or maybe not. Maybe it's friendship. Maybe it's good health. Maybe it's happiness and gratitude. The whole idea is to realize that, as Emerson says, success is not measured in, it has nothing to do with money or power. It has to do with living our purpose. If we are living our purpose, then we have a feeling of joy in our heart. And I can have a lot of money and not be living my purpose and be really miserable. And I've seen that. And I'm sure you all have too. So those are some ideas I wanted to put out there for that particular question of the financial situation, which I know is problematic for many people right now. And to, you know, I think ultimately, you know, ultimately the most important thing, I think, in many ways, is to try to cultivate the big picture. You know, try to see the bigger picture. Picture of what am I? You know, we have many lifetimes. You know, I may have a lifetime where I choose to be born as a poverty-stricken woman with 8 kids in the inner city. And I may grow enormously spiritually in that lifetime. In another lifetime, I'll try being born into a super rich family and go to the best college and see what that's like. You know, and I mean, I would say very often the former one is actually a lot more growth happening, perhaps. Maybe one is very comfortable or, you know, but in terms of soul growth, nothing is better than anything else. I mean, it's what we make of it. It's how we respond to situations. So right now, for some reason, humanity is choosing on some level to this huge test to, you know, have an oppressive force put masks on and all these other things. And so how do we respond? You know, what's our gift that we bring to the world, remembering the bigger picture that this is one life of many, 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 and we'll be male, female, black, white, this, that, old, you know, we'll be everything. Don't think you'll experience everything. So so the idea is to learn from each lifetime what we're here to learn. And you don't have to take my word for it. You know, just find out from yourself. It's how do we find out? How do we know what truth is, what is really true? I'll say one thing, it's not in the materialism of our society, which basically strips away any idea that we're anything but an object. We need to really deeply question this program. And it opens up a lot of doorways into fascinating realms. And that's something that a lot of vegans are afraid to do. A lot of vegans are afraid to question the materialism in our society. But I know if you're on this call, you're probably doing that to one degree or another. So I really encourage that and really actually congratulate and thank all of you for being able to be adventurers, because this life is an adventure. And it's not in many ways in staying in the comfort zone that we really grow. It's really in many ways stepping out of that comfort zone in a way that is healthy that we grow. And life can sometimes push us, you know, into these situations. And so how we respond, I think, is the key thing. So I'm going to stop there. Maybe, does anyone have any thoughts or questions or comments? Because it's already getting a little bit, we're good, but we're going to end just a little bit early today, but we still have a good amount of time. So I wanted to cover those things, at least those main thoughts. And then just open it up for any questions or comments you guys may have. And by the way, check out Madeline's new video on the ball dancing. We have this green ball. It's about 20 inches. We measured it in diameter. We inflatable, and we had it in the RV. We had it in the shower stall, and she would bounce on that. And when her mother would come over from Switzerland, she would stay in the RV with us. Her mother would always sit on that ball. That was her chair. And she bounces on that, and you can roll on it, you can stretch, and then I play the piano while she bounces, and we have a good time. But really, like Madeline was saying, the more, you know, exercising is really important, because our lymphatic system, you know, we have a circulatory system that has a heart that pumps the blood. But the lymphatic system, which is the foundation of our immune system, it's where everything flows for a healthy immune system, all the through the lymphatic system. It doesn't have a heart. The fluid only flows through our muscles, through jumping around and walking and exercising and getting up and getting down. Like I have a chair. I realize not to have a desk. You know, I have a desk, but it's on the floor. I sit on the floor, so I'm getting up and sitting down all day. And I think the more we can get up and sit down and move throughout the day, the more we can keep the lymph flowing and have a healthy immune system, because that's what we really want to have. Have a good sleep at night. Yeah, that's what she said. This, she does the ball dancing every evening, and then I usually do some too, and then we go to sleep. So it's good to find routines and habits that serve you. That really, you know, healthy habits are great. You know, getting up early in the morning, for example, and meditating every day for an hour. I mean, those are habits that I never break. And we make our habits. The old saying goes, and our habits make us, right? And to have really healthy habits of what we're eating, what we're saying, what we're thinking, how focus, take responsibility for the quality of our consciousness. Take responsibility for the quality of our relationships. Don't depend on other people to have the relationships be good. You know, take responsibility ourselves for creating positive relationships and sending love and kindness and caring and compassion to others. Don't expect it for them to give it to us. They may never do that, but that doesn't matter. We're here to put it out there. And the good news is, you know, whatever we sow, sooner or later in this life or the next, it'll come back. Anyone want to share any idea or thought or question? Yes, I see April, I think, and I see Deborah. But go ahead, April, yeah. Can you unmute yourself? I think you pressed *6.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Tuttle.
Hi.
Madeline, happy, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And you two are like joyful children in many ways, and it's encouragement and inspiration. Madeline, thank you for your ball and everything else that you've been sharing. The lightness about it is really, really helpful. I have a question tonight following something that you were sharing about us choosing or getting to experience over many lifetimes, everything and anything, different circumstances. I know it's a bit of a downer and everything's been so light, but this just came up the other day. Someone said to me, well, I believe that, regarding veganism, I believe, she said, that those animals choose, they have chosen to come here for that purpose. And so, and I think that makes it okay. So what's the response? How do you understand that?
You know, that's, I have a book. Let's see. The new book, relatively recent book I wrote called Buddhism and Veganism. I wrote an essay on the Enlightenment. I'm trying to remember what I called it. The Enlightenment delusion, I think. Basically, I think I came up with about 6 or 7 different variations on that theme. That I'm so enlightened that I eat meat, right? And one of those is like I've gotten to the point where my consciousness is so pure that I don't make karma anymore. So I can eat meat, doesn't really matter, I'm still at peace, I'm still in harmony, or I'm so powerful in my meditation that I send the animals my blessings, so it's actually, they're honored to have someone of my awareness eat them, right? You know, it's like they're serving. Or I can see that the animals came here to serve us with their bodies. That's it's kind of this sort of pseudo spiritual way of looking at it. Or the idea that I've gotten beyond duality. I see everything is I'm at the level beyond duality. So there's no good, there's no evil, there's no suffering, there's no one to suffer. So I can eat meat because I know it's all in the flow of a larger unfoldment. And you vegans, you're so stuck in duality. You're stuck in this judgment and this idea of being separate from animals. I'm one with the animals. I can eat them. They understand it's okay. It's no problem, and so forth. So There's a variety of variations on that basic theme. And, of course, what I say in my article is that there's a saying by Padmasambhava, who was a great Tibetan sage, who said that when the view becomes as vast as the sky, then our behavior becomes as fine flour, freshly ground barley flour. And this is the basic idea, is that the more we awaken spiritually, the more careful we are how we act. You can think of it. I mean, it's very obvious that the least enlightened people, the most coarse, violent people, really, are the ones who think they can do whatever they want. You know, they'll steal, they'll kill, they'll, you know, sexually abuse others. They go around acting like that, and of course, it's causing a lot of suffering to themselves and to others. So as we rise in our awareness of the interconnectedness of all life, and we see that there is no fundamental separate self, that the divine life is flowing through us and inspiring all of our actions, then our behavior, we become very conscious of and very sensitive to anything that's going to harm another being, because our sense of respect and appreciation and love for them is really inauthentic. So it's not like we're trying to be good. It's true, we get beyond dualism, so we're not like, we don't have these rules in our mind that, oh, I have to be this because I don't want to hurt them. But we just feel it at a deep level. The cow, the pig, the chicken, we look into their eyes. We're not going to wield the knife or pay someone to wield a knife to stab them. And so so I guess the response to people in that situation would be, again, not to blame them or criticize them, but just say to use I statements and say, you know, I thought a lot about this, and I realized how the spiritual teachers point to a state of consciousness where we realize our interconnectedness with other beings. And I know I would not want to be looked at with an eye that is going to kill me, because my life is precious and it's a gift. And I wouldn't want to put another being in that position. And just, you know, do the best we can in that, using our intuition to say what might help that person to let go of that very delusionary perspective, because it really is. I mean, it's very pervasive. I've seen it a lot in the Buddhist tradition communities, a lot of unity and Unitarian even, and yoga and a lot of different spiritual paths somehow seem to have this idea that animals chose to be put in this position for some reason. And, you know, like when I said earlier, like in India or something, there can tend to be, and this is a problem, I think, the untouchable class. People say, oh, you know, they chose to be born in that, in this lifetime, so it's okay if I exploit them. And the whole idea is that it's how we respond. I mean, maybe on some level there was, for that being in that position, some kind of a choice to experience that whatever suffering it is. But for me then to pile on the suffering shows that I don't understand the basic truth of the interconnectedness of all life, and I'm causing suffering to other beings, and that's, it's the opposite of loving kindness, the opposite of compassion, it's the opposite of harmonious living. And my sense is that that's the reason in the Buddhist tradition. I think also in the esoteric Christian tradition, and most of the world's wisdom traditions, that we have this sort of ongoing cycle of suffering, and the whole idea is to somehow ascend out of that, to rise up out of the delusion, and that is why it's maybe good to have rules in a sense, like training wheels, like not to kill, not to steal, not to lie, not to sexually abuse, not to say bad things, not to gossip, you know, try not to do that. And then we learn, you know, by these rules, but to eventually get beyond the rules, because when we can go deeper in meditation, then we realize, I mean, then we would never do that. When people go deep enough in meditation, they're not going to pay for meat, dairy products, and eggs. That's my feeling. And I think these rules help people to get to that point, because eating, you know, because we're born into a culture where people are doing that. That's the problem. This person who said that to you, they were born into a culture, their parents and teachers and everybody is eating animal foods. So that's why they're doing it. So again, that old saying that I say over and over again, kind of harp on, I'm so glad I realized the only reason I was eating animal foods was because I was just following orders. I was just doing what I was told, whatever those are. I was just told by my religion that we eat meat, it's okay, And I realized it wasn't a good idea. I'm not doing it anymore, and it's great. Don't try to change the person. Just try to plant a seed from your own experience with love and respect that will help them to later, that seed will bear fruit and say how great it is. I realize it's not necessary to cause that suffering. There's no nutrients I need to be healthy to cause suffering to animals. I'm not doing it. It's fantastic. And then kind of let it go. Just let it go. Plant the seed and let it go. And I think that ultimately is the best way to try to change other people is by not trying to change them, by planting our seeds of that we've discovered ourselves with joy and with a sense of respect for them. But that's a beautiful question, April, and it's a very important one, I think, because that there's so many levels that we use in our society to justify our violence towards other beings. And this idea that somebody chose a certain incarnation, so therefore it's okay to exploit them, whether it's a human or an animal, we're called to try to help everyone. People who are hungry, to give them food, right? I mean, that's what Jesus said. That's what all the great teachers said, and that's how we help all of us awaken to a higher level, including ourselves. So, thanks for that beautiful question. Yes, Deborah, did you want to say something or?
Happy anniversary, first of all.
Thanks.
And I have a couple of things, but just a quick, you were talking about the Sun Warrior, was it the Ormus Super Greens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You mentioned something briefly, and you talked about people who are, financially really hurt, which is fabulous. And you also said that if you have some money, there's a good chance we may lose it. You didn't say good chance, you said we may. And I'm wondering if you would speak to us for guidance for those of us, who are on the other end, maybe, who are retired and, that type of thing.
Oh, you mean financially, kind of?
And maybe this isn't, I don't know if other people are interested or not.
Right. Well, we're entering in many ways, I think, kind of uncharted territory in the world and in the United States. I mean, look what's happening in Australia, New Zealand, parts of Europe. There's places in South America and Africa where hunger is really spiking. Fortunately, suicides and homelessness and so forth. We have a system. We have safety nets in place, which is good. Social Security, for example, we just don't know. I'd say in a way, it's nice to think everything's going to continue on and it'll be like it was in earlier people but we don't know for sure. I think that's probably why it's good to be diversified in whatever you have. Like, I think it's probably a good idea to have some gold, silver, something like that, because whatever happens to the dollars, that'll probably be something that can be used. Although you never know. I mean, the government may do it like FDR did in the 30s and demand that everybody turn in their gold and silver. But if you have dollars, cash dollars, they may suddenly not be worth anything. And money in accounts may be converted to some other currency. So or who knows what. I mean, we're entering an era, unfortunately, it looks like, and I say unfortunately, but where almost everything's up for grabs, I think, in the next Because, I mean, we have an election coming up in November, which is already hard to know if it'll even happen, what's going to happen. And so there's quite an intensification of potential social upheaval. So, like I say, the more we can be somewhat self-sufficient, have food stored up, other things, have networks of friends or acquaintances. I mean, I think it's that's why the big picture is important. I think just to realize that we're in this lifetime, not to be afraid. Ultimately, good will come out of everything. Ultimately, I think good comes out of everything. Even if it's a bad, even if it seems really terrible. I mean, I don't know if this is maybe not an appropriate, but I'll say it anyway. I remember when I was reading about Edgar Cayce, the great mystic who would go into trance. He lived in Virginia Beach, and he would he helped so many people. He would give guidance to people. He just knew what was going on with people, and apparently. What he realized was that in an earlier lifetime, when he was living in, I think, what is today Lebanon, in the 1200s, he had been captured by, it was some kind of religious war going on at the time, and he had been pretty badly tortured. And through that experience, he had learned that he was not his body. I mean, he had really vividly learned how to leave his body, because he said, "Oh, here they come! I'm leaving. I'm out of here." And he was able to learn. He learned very clearly how to separate his consciousness from his body, and that ability then served him very well, not only in that lifetime, but in later lifetimes when he was able to bring a lot of healing wisdom to people. So there's an old saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity. We don't want anything bad to happen. We want everything, and so forth. But the whole idea is to just respond however it is, knowing that what we are is undamageable, eternal consciousness. And we cannot be harmed ultimately. Our bodies can be, so forth, but what we are essentially, and the more we can establish a relationship with the transpersonal dimension of consciousness, which is our true nature, the more that we abide in confidence, right? I mean, that's why meditating is so helpful, because if we can every day take time to enter into get a little taste of a quiet mind where it's just awareness, and then we realize what other people say about us. Like I talked about during the satsang, the eight winds, praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, fame and infamy, we realize that those are the winds on the mind. The mind, oh, I got what I want, I'm so happy. Oh, I lost it. Oh, now I'm in pain. Now I'm in pleasure. We're going out. We're always seeking one, avoiding the other. It's never-ending misery. So to get to the point where we realize that what we are can stand on the sea of glass. What we are can stand on that place of being, where what other people say or do ultimately is not going to hook us into misery. And that's a practice. It's something we can practice right now with when someone says something to us that would make us feel ashamed or angry. To breathe and remember and send them love. And this I think is really the key, is that we can't change the outer world, but we can change our response to it. And the other thing is that in many ways we will discover that the outer world is a projection of our inner being. In many ways it is. It really is. And we're not conscious very often. Someone said, but I didn't choose to have cancer. I never chose to get married to this lousy guy. I didn't choose that. But the whole idea is, if you look carefully at the inner dynamic, it actually, we just draw it in. We're attracted to it. We're for some reason, there's a lesson for us, and we bring it in. And it may not be logical, but at a certain level, we are resonating at the same frequency, and so we attract it. So a lot of it is about raising our level of vibration and frequency through meditation and through kind and loving actions that we don't resonate. I mean, if I see, there maybe was a time when, I can sort of see it, like when I saw a beer, you know, maybe when I was 17 years old, I was like, oh, I want to drink that, you know. If I see a beer now, it's like, it's the last thing I want to do is drink that. You know, when we raise our vibration, we don't have any attraction for meat, or, you know, people say, oh, I just still want a burger. You know, we don't have any attraction. Like I know men, this is a thing, you know, men very often will see a woman walk by and they'll just have this, like, you know, attraction to have sex with her of some kind, like to actually sexually have sex with her. They just want to, you know, it's like, and they don't see the being, they see this thing, they see an object, see a piece of meat that they want to do something to. It's a really a deep program, and to be at the point where that doesn't even come up anymore. It's just like, you know, we see a being. When I see a burger, I see a cow. You know, when I see, it's like so it's raising our vibration and awareness to the point where we're not going to be pulled down or sucked in to the delusion of materiality. And see, we're going to see the true nature of sense objects. That what, you know, sense objects arise in our consciousness. In a dream, we can go through all kinds of stuff. And then at one point we wake up and we go, oh, that was just a dream. This is the same thing. This is a dream. It seems so real at the time. But when we awaken to a certain point, we realize we can wake up in the dream. We can be lucid dreaming in this dream. And we are not worried that they just cut my hand off, even. I mean, or something like that. I mean, it seems like I'm using an extreme thing, but, you know, if that happened in my dream, I would wake up, oh, yeah, it was just a dream. Ultimately, it's all a dream. It's arising in our consciousness, and those are just words, but we can, through meditation, we can actually connect with the consciousness that is eternal so that we understand this, and then slowly that can begin to percolate into our daily life, so that we relax into whatever's happening. And even though, you know, it doesn't mean we don't take thought, you know, to be, you know, smart in a sense, to be savvy, to say, you know, save up savings in ways that, I'm just transferring my money in my, we have several different banks, and I'm taking money out of the big banks, like we have a Chase and a Bank of America. I'm sort of taking it out of those and putting it in a little federal credit union, because I just think that these big banks will be the first to just give their money away, and the credit unions will be a little later. I might be wrong, but I just have an intuition to do that, you know. So whatever, but just, you know, just kind of be aware of what kind of what's going on, and realize ultimately, though, that our happiness and our abundance does not come from matter. It comes from spirit. You know, it comes from our connection with eternal consciousness. And that's where we should be putting our investment of our time and our energy, is into our spiritual life, the life that is eternal. And it's manifest. We were here. It's going to manifest in our relationships and so forth. But don't make the mistake of trying to build, like Jesus said, build up treasures on this earth, because it can all be taken away very easily. And so we have to build up our treasure in heaven, really. That's it. That's the only place of treasure in our consciousness, of peace and joy and happiness and harmony, and send love to others even when they make fun of us and so forth, because that's where inner peace actually is. We realize everyone's wounded. People are so wounded they go crazy. They don't know what they're doing. That's like Jesus said, people, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're robotic. People are robotic. They're just programmed, unfortunately, in many ways. And so if we can wake up out of the program, at least we can then be somehow the yeast and the loaf that will help, and maybe help everyone get through it in a better way, and maybe help people awaken out of their trance as well. And that's what veganism is all about, really. It's about questioning the official narrative and nonviolence, just nonviolence, not in any way looking at another being as something to be harmed or used. It's a tough practice, but I think it's ultimately the only way, you know, in the final analysis. Yeah, so thank you for that excellent question also. Anyone else? I know it's getting, it's actually 6:17. So I'm supposed to join this other, this Jewish, they're having a Zoom call. You can find the link, if you don't have the email, you can find the link on our World Peace Diet Facilitator Facebook group, and go there if you want, or you can go to bed now or have dinner or whatever. But I think we should probably wrap it up for now so I can go. I'm going to talk a little bit to those people about that. So is that okay? Is everybody good? Yeah? All right. So we'll get together on the third Thursday of September. I didn't hear, which is the 17th. And... yeah, and then you know, I'm not sure about the first Thursday of September. Maybe we'll do another satsang, or let me know. I haven't really got a lot of feedback from people, so it's quite a lot of effort to do all these things. But if you'd like it, just send me an email. Maybe we can do something on the first. Otherwise, we'll just do something on the third. There's so many changes happening. There's new movies coming out all the time that are immediately getting censored. If they're good if they get censored immediately. So I'll try to find them somewhere else, see what's happening in the world. There's this new one, Plandemic Indoctrinated. We just watched that last night. Del Bigtree is really good. We watch him every Thursday. And then, spreading the vegan message is critically important too. And unfortunately, a lot of these do not have the vegan message, which really bothers me in some level, but to bring the vegan message, you know, we want to escape the consequences of our actions somehow, but we want to still eat animal foods. You know, it's not going to happen. So, all right. So I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I played quite a bit of music earlier, so I won't do that now. And much love to all of you. Thank you so much for your presence on our planet. In our life, it's really an honor to be able to work together and to just do the best we can to share the message. So stay in touch, and I'll send out a link to this. We do have it recorded, so you can listen to it later if you want, or share it with people, and the audio of it. So, all right, so we can close maybe with our Judy and I and Madeline, and some of you also perhaps. Every day at noon, we say the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, the prayer, which is compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. So let's just say that three times. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Everywhere.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Thank you.
All right. Much love to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Go forth and multiply the message. Much love. Okay.
Much love. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Yeah, bye-bye.